Welcome to Conversations with Dr. Stephen Greer. I am Dr. Greer, and I'm joined today with Dr. Ted Loader, who's the science advisor for the OrionProject.org.
Good afternoon,
I'd
Steve.
Like to thank the wonderful people at World Fusion Network for hosting us here every 2 weeks so we can update you on the projects that we are working on. And I'd like to also thank Dr. Loader for joining us.
Well, you're welcome, Steve. It's nice to be with you just before the holidays.
Yeah, well, we have a wonderful Christmas present for everyone who's been following the work of the OrionProject.org. For those of you who haven't, you can go to the OrionProject.org and see what we are doing. We're working to bring out the new sciences and energy technologies that would liberate this planet from oil and gas and coal, and that would give us the foundation for a peaceful and sustainable civilization on Earth. And in the last year, many of you had heard that we had identified some years ago. Actually, I visited this man at his classified facility and lab in back in 2004 or 5, I believe it was. And there was a scientist who was assigned to the United States National Security Apparatus and had worked with, as he puts it, every three-letter agency on these sort of technologies, who at the time was wanting to come forward to work with us to build the energy technologies, not the ones that go anti-gravity and fly like a UFO does. And we had met with him. Dr. Loader and I were with our board with him for a week. And then shortly after that, he vanished and was basically assigned to some other projects where he wasn't able to work with us. And as all of you know who have followed the briefing that I did for President Obama, which was released on October 24th of this year. It was provided to the President at the end of January of last year, but we released it in October. You can go to disclosureproject.org and see the recent announcements, and it's in there. Part of that briefing included a request that this scientist and his knowledge be allowed to work with the Orion Project in a sort of peaceful Manhattan project for new energy, and that we needed to have this man return to the fold, as it were, to work on these issues and to develop these technologies, because he, of all the people that we have ever met in the 19 years I've been doing this, is the most accomplished scientist and physicist and engineer who can actually build these sorts of technologies.
I would agree with that.
Good news. Yeah, I'm sorry?
I said I would agree with that assessment.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about that. I mean, we're not overstating it when we say that this is a guy who's actually built things in the classified world up to and maybe even surpassing anything at the Lockheed Skunk Works, and his knowledge is down to the mathematical equations and the basic physics, and he is really an amazing scientist. An asset and a wonderful person. Well, he after we released this briefing that we had provided to the President, and so many of you had written at our request to the President asking that this man be somehow positioned to be able to work with us again, and I thank all of you for doing so. We contacted him again, and it turns out that he has become available, and we, as of about 10 days ago, have signed a contract with him from the Orion Project with him and to work on the first of several technologies that would bring out and prove that free energy can be had from the environment. So this is a very big announcement, and it's the first place that we are announcing it is here on the World Fusion Network, because so many of you have been so supportive and helpful for our work, and we are really, really excited about this.
Absolutely, and you know, we've been waiting. In this case, we've waited for several years to be able to work with this gentleman, but we've been waiting for this opportunity for much longer than that. So. This is definitely a breakthrough in terms of potential.
Yeah, no, this is the highest potential of anything we've had, and he wants to do this on a long-term basis. has actually committed later in 2010, in the fall perhaps, to moving to the Charlottesville, Virginia area, where we will create the beginnings of a laboratory and research campus with him that will start the entire new energy economy. So it's a very exciting development, and we ask for your thoughts and prayers and protection as we go forward, and also for your support. And I do want to say that those of you who have contributed to the OrionProject.org and made your donations, it's because of you that we've been able to continue in this project and to identify this scientist and actually provide him the funds so that he can build up this first system. And to kind of give you a big picture of what we're going to be doing with this scientist, we're really going to be recapitulating the last 100 years of hidden technologies, but starting with going all the way back to some of the work that was done by Nikola Tesla 107 years ago.
That's right.
Now. Going straight up through a number of other technologies that are increasingly in the advanced physics area. And the first of these technologies, at least prototypes, is slated to be delivered this spring. So we're talking a very fast timeline here. And we're very, very excited. And Dr. John Bravo and Dr. Loader and a number of people have been working on this with me, and I'd like to thank them for their support as well. So this is a huge announcement for everyone that here as a Christmas present to the world, we're saying, hello, we're into the new year. We have this this wonderful and brilliant scientist working with us now, and he has a clear field. Apparently, there's no interference occurring so far, and so we're very, very excited about this. And he and his wife are very supportive of working with us on this, and we couldn't be happier.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is what we've been looking for, essentially, and searching for over the last number of years with the support of people for the Orion Project. And thank you.
Thank you all of you
who have supported us at all different levels.
Now, eventually, we will need several hundred thousand and then a few million dollars to open a facility and have some other engineers work with him. So those of you who can contribute to what we're doing, you can go to the OrionProject.org and do so. Or if you know of people who are high net worth people who could help us in a larger way and would like to speak with us directly, we'll be happy to do so. We have an agreement with this gentleman and his wife to keep his name confidential at this stage just for security reasons, which should be obvious to anyone who follows this issue. And also so he can get his work done and not be inundated from the public. But I will tell you that we have thoroughly vetted and checked this gentleman out. In fact, during this last meeting that happened a couple of weeks ago out at my farm in Virginia near the University of Virginia in Charlottesville and near where Thomas Jefferson's home is, it's a very historic area, we actually gathered not only with the OrionProject.org board of directors, but also the scientist, a top secret scientist who is here in Washington, D.C., who is one of the most senior scientists in the Department of Defense system, whose laboratory had, in fact, recreated independently and validated the technologies that this scientist who's now working with the Orion Project. And so we have an independent confirmation of not only this man's bona fides and the kind of work he's done, which we knew we had already checked that out in 2004, but that his work has been independently reproduced and verified, which is the sine qua non of science.
That is correct, and he's been verified at a very high-level laboratory.
The highest level. I mean,
exactly.
The gentleman who was actually at the farm with us, who is the senior scientist in Washington, literally meets with the Secretary of Defense and at times the Joint Staff chairman and people of this stature. So we're talking one of the most senior scientists in the United States government was also at the house with us to verify and to discuss, and who is also planning when he retires in a couple of years to work with us and in the meanwhile can consult with us sort of informally. So this is an amazing, I have to just emphasize this, astonishing breakthrough, an amazing team coming together. And we will need your continued support, and both financial and prayers and meditation, because this is certainly one of the most significant undertakings in the history of our country as we try to bring forward very boldly and decisively the sciences and technologies that would get our planet off of oil and gas and coal and nuclear power and into a clean, free energy so that every home and business and facility in America and in the world can be running on this type of energy without any cost once you have the device in place and without any pollution and impact on the environment. One of the things that is going to be done very early is a modern-day iteration of something that Nikola Tesla had done, and which we understand has been done by other people over the years in various forms. And this was something that actually, I believe, Dr. Loader, you said you have actually read and seen the patent that.
Oh yes, I've studied it and looked at some of the information about it over the years. That what he's bringing to the table on this, which is why we're incredibly excited, he's bringing his thorough mathematical knowledge of electronics and physics to bear on what was Nikola Tesla's observation. Basically, in a patent, several patents, but he's bringing his technology and modern day technologies to bear on optimizing the whole process. And it's the other nice thing about this particular technology is that it is technology that has been known about, at least at a low level, understood for a century or more than a century, actually. And so it's not trying to. And so your physicists or whoever else who might be say this is impossible, they can't really go there because the phenomena has been known and understood at a certain elementary level for over a century. So we're starting at that level, and then we'll be moving forward from there.
Right. I mean, one of the more advanced projects that we want to get into after we complete the first two or three are projects that would really be pulling energy out of the expansion coefficient of space-time. Those are much. That's a, probably a year and a half or 2 year project, and a very higher cost. What we're doing initially with this scientist are things that can be done with the resources that we have or anticipate to have on hand, as well as on a shorter timeline, because we feel that we need to be able to begin to demonstrate to the world that you could have something, say, that could be in your backyard or up on your roof or someplace that could be generating several kilowatts of energy 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, regardless of weather conditions or whether the sun's out or the wind's blowing. And that's what we're going to be coming out with first.
Exactly. So we move from the known and understood at least at elementary level to the more esoteric, shall we say, that as Steve said, will take both more money and more time to optimize it so that it can be used by the normal person, I should say, or the man on the street, or the commercialized level of it all.
Well, and also to emphasize why we're not coming out with the more complex system first isn't that it can't be done, because it already has been done, and it's just that the amount of time and funds it would take to do it is a bigger piece for us to deal with, and we feel that we need to be able to come forward as soon as possible. And as I said, the target date for this first prototype is going to be this spring, so it's a very short timeline, and with the logistics and the budget that we have on hand, and thanks to the generous support of those of you who have been helping us for the last couple of years at the OrionProject.org. So we're doing this in a way that is the most sensible way strategically, but also in a way that so that we have something we can then show to the world and say, look, here's the first thing that's possible, and here are the other three or four things that are in the pipeline on a fast track that can be out within 2 years. So that's our plan, and it's a very exciting plan, and this scientist and the Orion Project board, as well as the scientists, the wife, are all on the same page, very supportive of this. And we have been working feverishly over the last month since this gentleman first resurfaced to have these meetings and put this agreement together. And it was quite a celebration, of course, when we realized that we have a real contract with this top secret scientist to make history. So I think we have a great deal to be thankful for in this season and to look forward to in the new year.
Yes, exactly. And actually, there's a little extra little nuance to it. We did not expect to see or hear from this gentleman for a year and a few months after we had first met with him about a year ago, a little more than a year ago. We had been told that he would not be available for at least that period, and basically suddenly he resurfaced within a year. So there's a time shortening of almost 4 months in this process, and so that's which makes it possible to have started this whole process before Christmas.
Yeah, and I have year. To say that I think this is in no small part due to the fact that the people who listen to the World Fusion Network, as well as people who follow what we're doing in other networks, had contacted the president's office and others and said, look, we really do need to have this scientist freed up. And as you know, this is something we've been talking about for over a year. And I don't think it's a coincidence that he resurfaced and was available literally the weekend that the presidential briefing that I just referred to was released to the public. It was literally that weekend. So it's very exciting. And this is why one of the things that I've always said to the public is that those of you listening need to understand that you can do a lot. You can not only network what we're doing to others, but you can make contributions to the OrionProject.org and help us find other larger donors that you may know of who care about the environment and creating a new energy economy. And I will say this, and this gentleman has agreed to this, that if there's somebody who is sufficiently able to help in a larger way financially, that we would be happy to set up a meeting with this scientist and our board and that person, if the person that checks out to be legitimate. Obviously, this is a sensitive issue. The guy is a very top secret scientist. He has very, very high clearances and has worked in very sensitive projects. So this is not something you do cavalierly or recklessly. But if there are people who are out there listening who are themselves or know of people who could substantially support what we're doing, and because, as you know, our initial budget that we set and goal was about $3.1 million for the OrionProject.org. Obviously, we have not raised that yet, but we have raised enough to get this far, and we're going to need more because one of the things we have to do is to put a team of engineers together with a scientist in the near the University of Virginia who can study with him what he knows. Because you can't have, you have to really create a whole new educational process and inventing center where inventing is going forward that can be passed on to other young and bright engineers and physicists and scientists, who some of whom we have identified. And so to do that at a facility that's properly equipped and has proper technical capabilities is no small feat. I mean, we've estimated that the equipping of the laboratory itself would be somewhere in the pushing $500,000 range to do properly. So these are the kinds of things we'll be facing. Yeah. And I think, Ted, that you've actually worked on that budget more than I have.
Yeah, that's certainly one can do less with less. But if you want to have a top-notch research laboratory in the areas that we want to work in, that's a good start in terms of it, and that requires or includes specialized machining equipment and specialized electronic equipment. We're dealing with, in many cases, not your normal voltmeter that you buy at Walmart for $10, but very, very high precision, high sensitivity, high range, wide range instruments that can look at a wide range of signals. And that sort of thing is needed in order to interpret many of these electrical signals and processes that are not your normal electrical engineering department material. Because
right.
That is where these esoteric or unusual phenomena start to occur, sort of outside the normal phenomena that sort of runs our radios and runs our electric light system.
Well, exactly, and this is what this man specializes in. In fact, he was the one who first talked to us about what many people giggle when they hear the term WSFM, which is not a radio station. It stands for Weird Science and Frickin' Magic, which is what this stuff is called in classified projects and some folks at who I know at the CIA. It literally is called WSFM and Weird Science and Frickin' Magic. And the reason it is because it is outside the domain of what you would normally see in a physics lab in an MIT or at CERN or at Caltech or Stanford or what have you. This is the really high end of physics and science, which has been classified or had been buried over the last few decades. And we know, of course, that if you go all the way back to some of the experiments done by not only Nikola Tesla, but T. Townsend Brown in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and others, that this was done. And in fact, this scientist who is a senior government scientist here in D.C., who was meeting with this top secret scientist we now have under contract to work with us, they were talking about how there's a very well-documented history of this. It goes back longer than any of us have been alive. And what's astonishing is how little of this is known in most academic circles or scientific circles, and it's because it's been deliberately classified, because if it were known, it would be the end of oil and gas and coal and the grid. Now, one of the things that I want to share with people, it's some of the implications. I was just written by someone just wrote me from Canada, and someone who works closely with former Minister of Defense Paul Pelyar there about this issue. And one of the things he asked is, is this going to be something where it's just going to be metered like the old system? Because one of the things that are being proposed by the current the Obama administration as well as Congress is to create what they call a smart grid so we can carry wind and solar power. But in a way, this is an oxymoron. There is no smart grid because the grid is an invention from the 1800s. If you look at old photographs of New York City from the late 1800s, you see this crisscrossing grid of wires. And no matter how smart you make it, it's still pretty dumb. And here's why. Because it's subject to hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, failure. Even just a limb or a tree falling on it can take out an entire part of the United States, as happened a few years ago in the big blackout of the Northeast. So the bottom line is that we need a new paradigm even in that. And what we have to go to is exactly what we're going to be bringing out as our first prototype, and that is a technology where every home and business and institution or factory will have its own power generating capability. So you will be off the grid and no need of the grid. And the reason for that so important is that the grid is also vulnerable to solar flare storms. There was a massive electromagnetic storm that happened in the late 1800s that took out the entire electric grid of the world, but it was at that point not much electric grid there. If it happened today, it would bring us to our knees probably for half a decade or more. Mm. So the whole concept of a centralized power utility with these lines that are strung all over the United States or India or China to bring a little bit of electricity from a central plant to a point of use is a 1800s paradigm, and we need to retire the grid. And so forget about the smart grid and putting $1 trillion into that. Let's put the same funds into providing these sort of energy systems for every home in America and every home in India and every home in China. You know, for a fraction of the money they're talking about spending on the trillions of dollars on cap and trade and clean coal and the smart grid and solar farms, you could mass manufacture these devices and everyone would have one that could be given for free for what these governments are going to be spending, sitting at their house, running their home for free.
Without any carbon pollution.
And I'm not exaggerating, because the amount of money they're talking about from the Copenhagen summit and from what's coming out of Capitol Hill right now in terms of enormous hundreds of billions and trillions of dollars, you literally could provide these on a mass manufactured basis so people would simply have their own source of energy at no cost.
That's correct, and one of the aspects of it that I always end up mentioning somewhere along the line in our discussions is that this transfer of technology, or this changeover, if you will, is not something that will happen overnight. It will take a while, and it's going to take some very wise people to sit down and assess where is the best place to start doing this.
Right.
Do you start, and maybe I'm throwing this out as an idea, maybe you start this in all the rural areas and the suburban areas where the lines and supply lines are so long. Think about the Midwest, where you have miles and miles and miles of wire and grid cable just to get to one single person or one single farm unit. And so that may be where we start, sort of test out the principles, everything working at that level, and then sort of move in closer and closer. And it may ultimately be that certain areas or small clusters of houses end up using their own, instead of each house, maybe one of these units handles three or four houses in a small little cluster. It may be more efficacious to do that, but that is very different than the present system we have right now, because it is
right. Decentralized. Well, and actually, I see, but the power density exists, and we were talking about this with this top secret scientist who's now working with us officially with the OrionProject.org, that you, in fact, can create systems that can be miniaturized. And my vision has always been that after the first generation of these come out, we'll get to a point in our society, and we're not talking hundreds of years, but in a couple of decades or less, where everything that's manufactured that uses electricity or power will have its own power source within it, whether it's a lamp or a computer or a television or a dryer or a refrigerator or your heating system or your car. So that basically then you've revolutionized also something else, construction. You know how many people die in house fires and electrocutions because we have wiring in the house. Well, with this concept, you would eventually go to a system where there's nothing to plug in because everything has its own source of energy within it. And this is not at all unfeasible to do with the kinds of technologies that this scientist knows about and which can be created through this initiative. But we have to start somewhere. We're going to start with this initial one. And I know that once that happens, there'll be a very rapid development in technology, and it would simply revolutionize the world. And imagine the world where you have, for example, in India, and I know a lot of people don't know what I'm about to share. India is the number one place in the world where there is starvation. There are more people starving to death in India than in all of Africa. This is not known by a lot of people. And yet, you have 300 million people, the population of America, in their middle class. But it's a land of enormous contrasts. But one of the problems is that I was talking to an Indian industrialist once, is that that whole subcontinent has not been electrified with a grid. And to build the power plants and put a grid up so that people have rudimentary modern living and conveniences is a multi-trillion dollar process. And many people don't know this next statistic, that the federal budget deficit for this year alone is more than all of India's gross domestic product. Let me repeat that. The federal budget deficit for the United States government for this year, $1.3 trillion, is more than the entire gross domestic product of all of the subcontinent of India. So the idea that we're going to be able to lift the world out of poverty and solve this Malthusian crisis and the environmental crisis with solar and windmill and stuff is just a fantasy, frankly. I looked into putting solar on my house, $250,000. Let me repeat, $250,000 to convert my house completely so all its energy needs were met with solar. Now, I don't know about those of you listening, but not a lot of us can write a check for that much money just to provide electricity and power and heat and cooling for your home.
So, there would be a significant
payback.
We have payback.
To move to these technologies that have been suppressed and that will, of course, have an enormous macroeconomic effect. But basically what we're suggesting here is a complete rethinking of the global macro economy. Where it isn't based on centralized systems that require, you know, half of the world to live in terrible poverty, which is what we're seeing today. And I also will remind people that China is industrializing at such a rapid rate, even with the world economy like it is, their economic engine is still chugging along. They're putting on one new coal-fired power plant a week. And about 15% of all the pollution that falls in the San Francisco Bay Area is now coming across the Pacific from China. So, you know, solving these problems isn't going to happen by using the thinking and the sciences of windmills of the 1800s or solar panels, which are very, very expensive. And, you know, even though General Electric and some of these huge corporations, transnational corporations, are putting billions into wind farms and what have you, they're doing so because they want to see our policy in this country and around the world remain on a centralized power grid. What we're suggesting are bringing out technologies that completely change that paradigm.
And another, that is correct. And a second, another aspect of this whole thing that we're speaking of right now is that the actual amount of copper and metals needed to industrialize or wire up the subcontinent of India or to complete Africa and China is a massive amount of raw materials, such that if it was attempted, it would drive the price of copper and other things, even if there was enough copper available to do such things. It's, you know, as we've seen in recent years, parts of Africa and other parts of the world, even simple metals like copper wiring, people have been stealing that, copper pipes, stealing that from houses to sell it as the prices rose. So the amount of materials to do business as usual, i.e. large wires and centralized power, just isn't available to the world.
And
so it's never possible. We can never do it.
We couldn't, and this just brings you to the basic realization, and that is that the current macroeconomic system is gamed to be a system of masters and slaves, and that is a horrible thing to say. People mm-hmm. sometimes are rather offended by it, but it's these masters of the universe, and all the rest of us are slaves on their plantation called Earth. And these masters of the universe like to have centralized economies, centralized energy systems, centralized control. And we're talking about a vast decentralization of power, both literally in terms of the generation of electric power and energy, but also figurative power, a political power. And this is the thing that has been resisted, and this is why it's been quoted famously that J.P. Morgan turned to Nikola Tesla, who invented AC, alternating current electricity that we all use in our homes, and said, look, you know, and when he was showing him one of these Tesla-type energy devices, and then J.P. Morgan said, look, if I can't put a meter on it, we don't want it, and we're not going to let it come out. So that was true in early 1900s, and it's true today. And this is why the people who are at listening at the World Puja Network. Each of you are so much more important than you realize in terms of letting people know that these technologies are possible. It's a message of great hope. It's a message of great promise for the future of humanity. And it's so important that you tell others so that not only do we have the support we need, but that others are beginning to be educated about what the real issues are in this global debate about global warming and energy security and the Mideast security with oil supplies and all of these issues that are the big issues facing our civilization. These are existential issues that are literally challenging how we're going to live. And unfortunately, the big debates that are going on are not including the obvious, and that is that the solutions exist, but they have been locked away in black budget projects that we have been paying for. I mean, what's interesting is that, you know, people like this scientist and others that were gathered at our farm a couple weeks ago have been receiving funds from the U.S. taxpayers and have actually built things that are astonishing in terms of what they could do in terms of given energy independence. And yet you don't hear the Department of Energy Secretary or the White House talking about them. The question has to be, do they not know about them, or are they not allowed to talk about them? And this is where the OrionProject.org and DisclosureProject.org comes in very heavily, and that is we have to build a bridge from that world of hidden technologies and hidden knowledge to the public, and we need your help to do it. Every one of you listening are key to this process, because not only can you tell others, you can help us by helping us do the fundraising, you can help us by telling other people how they can be involved, and educating people and sending them to the OrionProject.org. So this is exactly what we have to do if we're going to create the change that's needed, and real change that we can believe in, to use a slogan, because we need, and I'm sitting here in Washington actually looking at the White House from my place here as I say these words, ironically. But I think that there's some delicious irony to all this, isn't it? But the fact is that we have to be a force for that kind of change. And it's starting out small and modestly and with a few people, but that's how everything wonderful starts, as Margaret Mead always said.
That's correct. I can't argue with that.
That is how it happens.
Yep.
So
a small determined group of people can change the world.
Yes, exactly, and that's what we are, and that's with your all of you guys' help, we'll be able to keep moving forward. And we are going to need your help, even in the area of security. I mean, one of the things that many people know about is that in the past there has been, and this top secret scientist who's now has a contract for doing this for the Orion Project has told us very directly. He realizes he is putting his life on the line, as am I, and the other people working with us. And I think that we need to say to those of you listening is we need you all to provide a shield of exposure for us. You need to get the word out, because one of the things that will protect us more than anything is having millions and millions of people know that this is going on. And as soon as we have something that is built, as can be tested at independent scientific testing facilities, and this is what Dr. Loader will be heading up for us, and has been reproduced independently by a scientific team to be able to be sure that it's reproducible and reliable, then we're going to disclose it. We're not going to sit on this thing for years. It is not something that's going to go into a black shelf. It's going to be known, just like as soon as we had all of our ducks in a row with over 100 top secret military and corporate and CIA witnesses to the UFO issue, we went forward with that, and it was seen eventually by nearly a billion people around the world. We will do that with this as well, but that's a very staff intensive. We're working right now, the Orion Project, all of us as volunteers, but we're going to have to move from that to staffing up a serious operation that announces this sort of technology to the world at the instant that we're have one working and it's been reproduced and proven and tested. So that's the process that we're in, but we're going to need your help very quickly, frankly, to make this a reality in order for us to live to see another day.
That's correct. Once again, Dr. Greer has stated the almost perhaps the obvious if you think about it, perhaps not obvious if you haven't thought about it. But once we have a tested technology, multiply reproduced, tested at multiple institutions, both educational institutions of higher learning or research universities or whatever, and probably some government laboratories under our control, if you will, not to be stolen information. Once that happens, this will be broadly known. We will make sure that certainly you at the World Puja Network, as well as the world, will know that these technologies exist. And once, I mean, our feeling is very important that once there it is known that there are alternate technologies to solar panel and wind farms, et cetera. I won't go into all of them. Most people here know about alternate technologies. But once people realize there are other technologies available that will really change the paradigm, the word's going to spread very, very quickly.
That's correct. It will. And I think that all of you at the World Puja Network who listen and who have networks of people can be very key to that happening and happening very quickly, sort of in a viral way, as they say, on the Internet and elsewhere. So that's what we're looking at doing. And we're actually going to be having a meeting in early January with a number of people who have been in the world of business and legal, as well as engineering and science, some engineers, to talk with them about joining very early in the year and setting up the an office and a research lab in the Charlottesville area, because we need to be getting ahead of the curve on that. So we're actually going to be meeting. And one thing I might say is that if there are people out there with expertise in public relations, contracting, business, new technologies, fundraising, and, of course, engineering, who have good electronic engineering or even technicians, as well as other types of engineers, we're going to need all those people. And so please contact us at theorionproject.org, and we will consider you for future involvement, because I think we're going to need to create a very top shelf support staff, because you're not going to be able to do this with just a couple of people. We're going to need initially, I would think, half a dozen or so people, and then from there, dozens of people and working on these things, and we can then collapse time frames. So instead of something taking 2 years, perhaps it can be done in 9 months or a year, to where we have a very advanced system out. But that's all dependent on having the right people in place, adequate funding in place, et cetera, and so on. So, we live in the real world. Most of the people we have interviewed who are engineers, who have families, can't quit their day jobs and do this full time, even though they're very interested in it, because they have mouths to feed and children to send to school and what have you. So at a certain point, we're going to have to go from the kind of, Dr. Loader and myself and Dr. Bravo have been doing this for many years out of our own pocket and without any compensation, a zero, not a penny
that is correct.
The Orion Project has gone to us at all for compensation, not one red cent. But I'm happy with that. But I mean, I can't ask that of engineers and scientists and project managers and people like that. They are going to have an income, and I can't expect them to all be able to work for free, because the world doesn't work that way. So we're going to have to get serious about this, and in terms of building a true research institution and the entity that can do this, and we're going to need your help. So those of you who can, we really appreciate it. And those of you who have already helped us, I just want to say thank you, because we could not have engaged this scientist, this top secret scientist who's now committed to working with us long term. We could not have signed this guy on if we had not had your support, both financially and morally. And so this is really a big thank you to everyone.
That's correct, and we're sort of at the edge of the cliff here, and ready to jump off into a new world, essentially. And in terms of spinning up what Dr. Greer and Dr. Bravo and several of the rest of us have worked on for many, many years, trying to get to this point, and it's been frustrating at times, and seemed to not go anywhere at times, with some bad trails and wrong directions at times. But nevertheless, what that has done is it's taught us a lot. We've learned a lot, and so when we found this gentleman, we knew what we had.
I have to say, you know, as you're saying that, Ted, I'm thinking of the first time I went down to his lab, and went in there, and it's parts of it, of course, were classified that I could not go into, but it was an amazing the stuff that he demonstrated, and I thought, oh, we've got to have this guy working with us. And of course, at that time, there was no chance of it about 4 or 5 years ago. We thought a year ago we did have that, and it was snatched away, and now it's back. And since it's back, and this is now officially and legally signed up and done, I think the public needs a heads up here. This is really happening. And I have to tell you, this guy, this scientist, and the people he works with are very excited about it, and he sees no interference at this point. But the world is in a perilous situation with the Middle East and with the environment and many other issues. And I think that we have no time to waste, and we need to be expeditious without being reckless. We need to be efficient, and we need to be aware of this because. Let's face it, I mean, these are technologies that should have begun to come out around 1902, 1910, somewhere in that range, in their early forms. Certainly by the mid-20th century, we should have been, as a civilization, completely off of oil and gas and coal and fossil fuels. Here we are, you know, 50, 60 years later, with, you know, these discussions about what are we going to do now about global warming? What are we going to do now about the running out of oil eventually? What are we going to do about the fact that the entire Western economy is dependent on Mideast oil? And we're over there fighting two wars because of the sort of problems that we've gotten ourselves into. And I think that one of the issues very clearly is that you cannot, you can't solve any problem from the consciousness that created it. And so what we're trying to do is bring out the definitive solutions to these large problems. And now we've gotten this far with Disclosure Project .org and also the Orion Project .org. And this scientist, by far, is the most knowledgeable and skilled and genius inventor and physicist that I have ever met. And I've met a lot of interesting people who actually can build this stuff, not just make theoretical speculations, but it can actually build systems that demonstrate this type of physics. So.
That, if I can bump in here for a second, this is one of the attributes that I'm actually thrilled about. Here's a man who not only can he, shall we say, do the math, if you will, or understand the theory in a rigorous mathematical analysis of the theory behind what he's doing, he actually can take that and build something from it that works. And it go from theory on pen and paper, if you will, or computer screen, to an actual object that does whatever it does, creates energy, jumps around, whatever. And so he can do the whole thing, the whole stretch there. And that is so critical. We've met so many inventors who are inventing basically from the seat of their pants, don't understand the theory of what they're doing, and essentially they're bumbling around. And, boy, have we had our share of those. And it's,
yeah, I think that, you know, there are many that mean well, but they really
exactly.
just can't produce. And I think in this case we've got someone – who both means well, but also has a proven track record of 30 years of work building these technologies and being under contract with top secret programs, and it has actually built things up to the level of things dematerializing and teleporting and space-time alteration. And I mean, we're talking really advanced stuff. This is by far the best chance that shop we're going to have that I know of, and we really are urgently making an appeal to all of you to support what we're doing both financially and morally and through networking, because this is not now a theoretical situation. As it were, the fuse is lit. we're the rocket's taken off. I mean, it's kind of an old analogy here, but because we actually are on a timeline, and we have actually sat down and crunched out the numbers and a timeline with this scientist and also his wife, who works very closely with him. And I just want to say that this is actually done going forward as we speak. So it is an exciting time.
Yeah, this is the real stuff that is science fiction is made of. Now, as we've noted, that's not what we're doing initially, but that potential is there down the line, which really, if you start to think about it, and I remember, go back to the comment that Ben Rich made a number of years ago, anything you can dream of, we already know how to do. And this is a man who can make some of those dreams come true for the rest of us. So,
well, actually, Ben Rich also said in that same talk that Ben Rich was the head of Lockheed Skunk Works, the super secret engineering skunk works for Lockheed. And he said, not only anything you can imagine, we've already done, but he said if we can, we have the technologies where we can take ET home, meaning faster than the speed of light amongst the stars. And this is what we're talking about. Now, we are not going into the things that fly and dematerialize and all this stuff yet, although we can. This scientist and his team absolutely have done it. The scientist that came from this top secret program here in Washington, D.C., who recreated this man's work that we're now under contract with, has also done it. But we're going to, you know, as I said, let's walk before we levitate. We need to at least get our civilization up out of the mud of the dust bin of coal and oil and sludge and mess. Let's do that first. And as the world, as civilization stabilizes and we put in the means to ensure that these technologies are used only for peaceful means and are not militarized and weaponized, just sort of out of control, then these more advanced concepts can come forward. So we're doing this in a very logical way. We're very mindful of the world situation. It's a very fragile situation, but we're doing this in a way that brings out the safest and best technologies first. And so that's where we are. And I do want to thank everyone for supporting us. And please go to theorionproject.org and contribute what you can to what we're doing. And tell somebody that you know on your email list or who's interested in these sorts of new energy issues and the environment about what we're doing, because it's time to really open up the network now that we have an official program underway.
I'd like to add a comment here. This is the end of the year. It's often time for reviewing the year and thinking about the new year. Perhaps this is a time to dream about. We've shared with you some of our vision of what we're doing right now, what we will hope to be doing in the near future. And I think we've given you a glimpse of some of the potential technologies that truly can transform our world, both in energy technologies and other aspects of the world that we live in. And so perhaps this is a time to dream a little bit about what some of those potentials might be and how you might handle them as an individual and share with your friends and talk about it, because it truly, we are on the verge of a brand new world in terms of how this planet operates.
It is a whole new civilization. And imagine having a world where, you know, every vehicle and every home has its own source of energy that doesn't pollute, but also that doesn't cost anything. Once you have the installation put in, there's no electric bill. And my view of this is that what we have to do is start a company that has a charitable trust associated with it, so that if there are any profits from any of this, technology, and by the way, the inventor feels the same way as I do, that should go into getting these technologies for free to the impoverished world. I mean, you know, it does. If you were to say, oh, well, you have this new system and it costs $5,000 or $50,000 or whatever dollars, if you were to say that to a poor villager in South America or Africa or India, you might as well say $5 trillion. They don't have it. So we're going to have to figure out how to do this, but it can be done. After all, I mean, there are all kinds of programs out there that provide assistance to the developing world, and I think that we have to view it that way. And I think that this is a sacred undertaking. It is not something that's just a normal high-tech deal like Google or Microsoft. No offense to those companies, but this is something that is really about starting a new civilization on this planet, saving the life of Gaia, the Earth, that we're strangling her and killing the life out of the Earth. We're killing the oceans. I mean, Dr. Loader's an oceanographer, and he can tell you how much we're depleting the life that is in the oceans all over the world. And that, you know, this is something that we're really, it's a sacred undertaking that Gaia, the Earth, wants to have happen, and I'm sure the cosmos and the universal being wants to have happen. So, yeah, there are some devils out there who are all about power and money and greed, and they're going to try to stop it. But I'd say 99% of the people on planet Earth are going to be very happy about these technologies coming forward, and we just have to see that it happens.
Absolutely, and one of those little I'll just give you one little hint about how this may affect things. If we look at our food system in the United States and the Western world, and I don't know the exact number, but it's somewhere 90% or more than 90% of our food is actual oil in terms of what it took to get that food from the farm to your table. Oil
right.
Used in fertilizer and in transportation and in freezing and preparing the whole business. Now there's a cost to that energy. If the energy is free or at least majorly reduced in cost, because you still have to have the devices to collect the energy. But nevertheless, if the energy costs are significantly cheaper, what does that mean to our food availability, food system? Irrigation, fresh water to grow things, it's going to change the dynamic and make food for not only the Western world but also the impoverished parts of the world food-wise. Dr. Greer mentioned India a few minutes ago. It'll change the dynamics dramatically.
Absolutely. And even the Mideast peace process, one of the big holdups is water between Israel and the Palestinian areas. And what's interesting is Israel has a whole coastline of the Mediterranean, but the cost of desalinating and piping the water is all energy intensive. And so if you have energy that's little to no cost, then you can change that dynamic. And it's like the Bible when it said, even the deserts shall bloom, talking about a time in the future when things would be like they are, can be. And so we're really talking about entering in a whole new era of human civilization, of life on Earth, and it's not anything less than that. It really is about the transformation of life on Earth, and what a wonderful thing to be involved with. And it's really what induced me to this vision, caused me to leave my medical career and work full-time on this. And it's recently Dr. Jan Bravo has left her medical career as an emergency doctor and 20 years in the same emergency department in California, and now she's working full-time helping us. And so there are a lot of people who, you know, we're really voting with our feet here, and we're asking you to help us a little bit if you can. So, and we just have another minute or two, and what I'd like to do is just also remind people we're going to be doing a gathering in Florida at the end of, from February 7th until the 12th on an island called Boca Grande Island, off in the Gulf of Mexico, off of Fort Myers, and we're going to be doing a CSETI training where we're going to be doing contact expeditions and training people to make contact with these interstellar visitors. It's going to be an exciting week and a nice warm week, we hope, unlike what's going on right now in Washington with 2 feet of snow. And and so those of you who would like to join us there, you can see what we're doing at CSETI.org. And again, those of you who can help us at the OrionProject.org, I thank you for your assistance. We need it, and we're going to need a lot of it in 2010. But those of you who've contributed to date, I really do want to thank you, because we could not be doing what we're doing right now with this amazing scientist if it were not for your help.
Thank you. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Ted. And until next time, all of you, this is Dr. Stephen Greer with Conversations with Dr. Greer. And I'd like to thank the World Pusia Network for their generosity in letting us bring you this information. Until next time, goodbye.
Yep, goodbye.